sixth inning with Kramer at bat to start things off for the Red Sox. He acted as though he was going to bunt the first one. It came by high and wide for ball one. White Sox are leading the Red Sox 4-1 going into the sixth inning. Game winds up again, pitches, and again Kramer choked up as though to bunt, but the pitch curved inside and low for ball two. Count is 2-0, 2 balls and no strikes on Kramer. And there's the next one. The hitter jumps back for ball three inside, and it's 3-0, 3 balls and no strikes on Kramer. Kane gets this one over, though, right down the middle waist-high, and it makes it 3-1. 3 balls and 1 strike on Rod. Kane throws again, and it's strike two, another fastball, letter high. Makes it 3 balls and 2 strikes on Kramer. 3-2 the count. Winding up again, throws, and the hitter gets the fourth ball, a very bad ball. It must have been a foot wide of the plate and pretty high. So he had no reason to go after it. Let it go by and he gets the base on ball. Puts Kramer on first base with nobody out in the sixth inning. And Heinie Minush, the left fielder, is at bat. And the first pitch to Heinie is a good strike over the inside corner about knee high. 1 strike on Minush. Shug throws again, and Heinie gets strike two. A good fastball over the inside corner, letter high, and it's 2 strikes on Minush. Two strikes to count. It's ready again. Throws, and the hitter leans way back to take a ball inside across the way. So it's 1-2. 1 ball and 2 strikes on Heinie. Swings the next hit, a line drive down to Benora, who grabs it nicely, runs the first, and it's another double play. And what I mean, Mr. Benora really made a nice play on that ball. Ball was really tagged. Lipton was going out to right field for at least a double, and Benora leaped to his right, grabbed it, held onto it, and then turned and trotted back to first base ahead of Kramer to double him for the second out. So it's 2 out in the sixth inning for the Red Sox. And Jimmy Fox is up there at the plate. Jimmy Fox, first baseman. He throws the first one, and Jim takes a wide one across the waist for ball one. 1 ball called. He winds up again now, throws, and it's a strike over the heart of the plate, letter high. Making it 1 ball and 1 strike on Fox. 1-1 the count. He throws again, and there's ball two, a curveball inside and low, and it's 2 balls and 1 strike on Fox. Winding up, throws again for another strike. A pretty one over the outside corner. Just barely knee-high, a pretty fast ball down there, and it's 2 balls and 2 strikes on Fox. 2-2 the count. He throws again, and Jim started the swing stop, but the ball is over the outside corner anyway, and he's out for the third out. Jimmy started the swing at that one, stops the query of the umpire, but apparently umpire Armsby tells him that he knows he didn't finish his swing, but the ball was over the corner. So Jimmy turns promptly and starts down to first base. And Kane gets a nice hand, and so does Benura as they come into the bench. So it's no runs and no hits in the first half of the sixth inning. Score remaining 4-1 in favor of the White Sox as the White Sox come to bat in the last half of the sixth inning with Ripper Radcliffe. He first hit it. Leadoff man, first man up. Ripper hasn't had much luck the last couple of days towards preserving that high batting mark of his. I mean, he had one hit yesterday, didn't he? Yeah, one hit and a walk, so he had a hit and 3 times at bat, technically. Spun up 3 times today and had 1 walk, so he's charged with technically 2 times at bat. the other one being eliminated from that point of view. And here is the Ripper up there at the plate as the pitcher finishes. He throws the first one. Ratcliffe hits the bonner, and Russell comes in to take it on a slow first hop, throws the first, and Ratcliffe is out rather easily for the first out of the sixth inning. One out of the sixth inning for the White Sox. And Creevy is at bat. Mike Peters up there with one out of the sixth inning. Mike hasn't had any luck so far today after getting two hits yesterday. And he reaches out, bunts the first one. It's a high bounder. Russell comes in fast, gets it, and throws the first. Just nipping Peters. Made a good throw inside the line so that Fox could reach in and make the catch and still not have to go into the runner for it. Russell is showing just how that position out there should be fielded today. He's done a nice job of fielding. And so it's two out of the sixth inning for the White Sox. With Mulehaus, White Sox right fielder at bat. He winds up and throws, and it's a strike over the inside corner just above the knee. One strike on Haas. He winds up again, throws, and the mule takes a wide one low for ball one. So it's one ball and one strike on Haas. One and one the count. There's another one very wide for ball two. And it's two and one on the donkey. Two balls and one strike. Russell takes his time, finally starts to wind up, and throws, and Haas swings it, an easy bonner down to Croner, who gets it, throws to first base, and Haas is out for the third out, making it no runs, no hits in the sixth inning for the White Sox. And at the end of the sixth inning, the White Sox are leading the Red Sox in the first game of the doubleheader by a score of 4-1. And now again, for up-to-the-minute scores and complete batteries from other cities, we return to the studio.
In the National League in Boston, the Chicago Cubs lost the first of the doubleheader game against the Bees by a score of 3-4. The Cubs had 3 runs, 10 hits, and 1 error to the Bees' 4 runs, 8 hits, and 1 error. Leon Hartnett started for the Cubs with Davis pitching in the ninth. McFadden and Lopez worked for the Bees the entire route. The first game of the Twin Bill in Philadelphia between the St. Louis Cardinals and the Phillies, the Cards lead at the end of the eighth inning by a score of 8-2. Haynes and Davis, the Cardinal battery, Walters and Wilson starting for the Phillies with Jorgens in the third, Tyvis in the fifth, and Harris in the ninth. In Brooklyn, the first game of the doubleheader between the Cincinnati Reds and the Dodgers at the end of the first half of the eighth inning, the Reds lead the Dodgers 4-0. Stein and Lombardi, the opening battery for the Reds, with Fry on the mound in the first, Mungo and Berry's opening for the Dodgers, with Phelps catching in the eighth. In the game in New York between the Giants and the Philadelphia and the Pittsburgh Pirates, at the end of the first half of the third inning, it's a scoreless tie. Swift and Patton, the Pirate battery, the Giants using Hubbell and Mancuso. In the American League in St. Louis, the Philadelphia Athletics and the Browns are tied with no score at the end of the first half of the first inning. Fink and Hayes, the Athletic battery, the Browns using Hogsett and Giuliani. Those are all the scores there are so far. And now back to Comiskey Park and Hal Totten. Take it, Hal.
Back at the ballpark for the seventh inning. The first man at bat, Croner, takes the first pitch for a strike. He hits the next one, a long high fly to deep left field. Ratcliffe's way, way back there and makes the catch back in front of the left field bleachers for the first out in the seventh inning. Ball was pretty well tagged, but also pretty hot. The wind right now and for the last several innings has been very strong, but directly from the east. A little bit southeast, so it blows over toward that left field stand rather than against it. Ball hit toward right field is into the wind. Now Joe Cronin, the shortstop and manager of the Red Sox, is up there with one out of the seventh inning. Kane winds up and throws, and it's flowing and misses the outside corner for ball one. Waits there again, has the sign, starts to wind up. Pitches and the hitter swings. Hit went out into right field for a good clean base hit. Haas backs up to take it carefully on the second hop and then throws it into second base. Hayes cutting off the throw. The runner stopping at first. So it's a single to right field by Cronin, putting him on first base. It's one out of the seventh inning for the Red Sox. And Werber, Bill Werber, the Boston third baseman, is at bat. on first base, one out in the seventh inning. Wherever at bat, and Bill takes a strike over the outside corner across the waist. One strike on Wherever. Kane has his sign. It's ready again. Pitches, and Wherever takes the ball. It's over the plate, but a little bit too low. And the count is 1-1 on Bill. One ball and one strike. Kane takes quite a while. Finally has his sign again. He's ready. And pitches, and the hitter swings, hit a bounder down to Appling, who gets it, throws to Hayes. Hayes throws the first, but Wherever, I believe, is safe there. The throw was wide, but Wherever, a very, very fast man, had beaten the throw to first base. It's hard to double a fellow like that who is so speedy. But Cronin was forced at second. Play going from Appling to Hayes for the second out in the seventh inning. And it brings Mo Berg to bat. Mo Berg is up there with two out in the seventh inning. Wherever on first base. Wherever is not very likely to try to steal because they need three runs to tie it up, not just one. First pitch to Mo is a good strike over the heart of the plate, about waist high. One strike on Berg. Kane throws to first base as Wherever steps off the bag, but he just stepped right back on again, was there well ahead of the throw. And pitcher ready again, pitches for strike two. A beauty over the heart of the plate, a little above the knees. And it's two strikes on Burke. Two strikes to count. Kane has his sign again. Pitches and the hitter swings, hit one hard out to Hayes, who comes up with it, tosses to Appling, and Wherever is forced at second for the third out. He started to throw it to Appling, saw Luke wasn't there, and then acted as though he might turn and throw to first base, but Luke got over there, so he threw to second to make the fourth play for the third out. So it's no runs, one hit, one man left on base in the first half of the seventh inning. And the White Sox still lead the Red Sox by a score of 4-1 as the crowd gets to its feet for the seventh inning stretch. And the first White Sox hitter in the last half of the seventh will be Zeke Benora, White Sox first base. I have a wire here from Milwaukee. There's an enjoying broadcast and other things in Milwaukee, signed Walter Sinclair. Now, knowing Walter, I don't even have to guess what those other things in Milwaukee are enjoying.
We all know what made Milwaukee famous.
Yes, but at the same time, they have still other things than that in Milwaukee. Glad to hear from Walter, though. Walter Williams. Benora stands there as Oscar Melillo warms up that pitcher. Berg finally gets out there. Wes Farrell, who is expected to pitch the second game, is walking across the field and on through the Sox dugout to go up into the clubhouse. Take a little rest before he has to come out to warm up for that second game. And the first pitch to Benora is a high one inside for ball one. One ball called. He throws again and Zeke twists away to take ball two up around the ears but inside. And it's 2-0, two balls and no strikes on Zeke. Russell throws again for ball three wide and low, and it's three balls and no strikes on Benora. The fourth one inside and low, and Zeke gets his second walk of the day. He has two walks, a single, and a home run, and has scored two of the Sox four runs today. And it brings Luke Appling to bat. Luke has had a walk and two singles and has scored the other two runs. Luke Appling up there at the plate. And they're watching the plate, takes a look at first, finally swings around on the slab. Pitches, and the hitter takes a strike over the inside corner about waist high. One strike on Appling. He Ready out there again. Throws and Luke swings and fouls the ball on the ground at his feet for strike two. So it's two strikes on Appling. Two strikes to count. Strikes to the count with the pitcher ready again. He takes another look at first, throws, and Luke fouls this one down against the front of the stands, down beyond first base, bounds out into right field, and it's still two strikes on Appling. Two strikes on Luke Appling. Benora on first base, nobody out. In the seventh inning for the White Sox, and the Sox are leading the first game of the doubleheader by a score of 4-1. Goes now, and it's inside across the waist for ball one. So it's 1-2 on Appling. One ball and two strikes. One and two. And the hitter swings the next one to drive it out into center field for another base hit. Zeke again blows up to make sure the ball isn't caught, and then goes only as far as second base. And it's Appling's third hit. In three technical times at bat, the other time up, he got a walk. White Sox have runners on first and second. Nobody out in the seventh inning. And Jackie Hayes is at bat. Hayes up there at the plate. They're expecting Jackie to bunt naturally. And he does bunt out there to the left, but the ball goes foul. Bird goes out there and scoops it into the air so Ford can roll fair again. And it's one strike on Hayes. One strike to count. Right fielder Cook had torn way in there and was out there to back up first base on any play there, but he's back out to his position. They're still expecting Hayes to bunt those runners around if he can. Russell stepped off the rubber, but the runner dashes back, but there's no play. Now the shortstop trying to hold Benora out there. And Hayes does bunt the ball down to Werber, who gets it, throws to first, and it's a good sacrifice by Hayes. Jackie bunted that ball hard enough that time so he knew Werber would have to handle it and not back up to make a possible play at third base. So it's a sacrifice by Jackie Hayes. Play going from Werber to Fox for the first out in the seventh inning, moving Benora to third base and Appling to second. And Jimmy Dyke is at bat. They're going to walk Jimmy. Fill the bases and take a chance on Luke Sewell. Ball one, ball two. Going to walk him on purpose to fill the bases. The only logical thing to do at a time like this. Dyke's a dangerous hitter. Hasn't had a hit yet today. And liable to break up the ball game right here and now. So they'd rather have the bases full. It's no reflection on Sewell's hitting ability, but they'd rather have force plays foul as possible all the way around the line. A double play at every base. Now Sewell steps up there as the umpire tosses another ball out to Russell and throws that other one out of play. Sewell still swinging three bats. The bat boy waits as he tosses two of them aside and grabs them and starts back to the bench. Sewell steps up there. The Sox have the bases full in the seventh inning. With one out, they're leading the Red Sox 4-1. And Luke Sewell is at bat. Starts to wind up, throws, and Luke swings, hit a ball out, pass the shortstop. Stoneman manages to knock it down, and then turns and throws the third after recovering it. But center slips back to Oliver. They're all right. And Benora scored his third run of the game. Cronin knocked that ball down way back at second base on a great play. There was no chance of getting the ball.
What?
Apparently they're calling it a boot. Apparently they're calling it an error from the press box. Well, all right. Their guess is better than mine. The ball was hard hit way out back of second base. Cronin went back and managed to knock it down, but couldn't handle it. So they call it an error, and one run scores. And now Kane pushes the ball through into right field for the base hit. One run is coming in. Second run coming in. And the run at the first reaches third base. Three runs home this inning. The White Sox now leading the Red Sox 7-1. In the seventh inning, and they still have runners on first and third as the pitcher starts in from the right field bullpen. Russell turns and walks off the field toward the runway back to third base to go up to the clubhouse. Kane swung at that ball and hit a bounder, pulled it through in the right field for a base hit. It scored two more runs. And gives the White Sox a 7-1 lead. And the new pitcher is now in there. And it's Wilson. That's who it is. Wilson is the pitcher. First man he has to face is Rip Radcliffe. Wilson's a right-hander. He's not short, but he's not the average height for a ball player, not overly tall. He uses an easy sidearm delivery. And he's finishing his warm-up out there with Moberg while Rip Radcliffe waits out there to take his turn at bat. Still throwing, but he indicates, I think, that he's all ready. So Radcliffe steps up there to the plate, and he's ready to go in the last half of the seventh inning. White Sox have three runs home this inning. One out, and still have runners on first and third. Radcliffe at bat. He throws, and Ripper jumps way back to take it inside across the waist for ball one. One ball called. Throws once more for ball two. It's wide across the chest, and it's 2-0. Two balls and no strikes on Radcliffe. 1-0 the count. Throws again, and Radcliffe swings in a line drive right out to the second baseman, who turns and throws the first, but Kane apparently just got back in time. Just batting to get back there with a line drive by Radcliffe right straight at Kroner, who held the ball for a minute and then saw that Kane was standing off the base and not getting back. So he threw over there, and Kane made a leap for first base and got in there in time. So it's two out in the seventh inning for the Sox. Runners on first and third with three runs home. They're leading the Red Sox 7-1, and Mike Krivich is at bat. Mike takes the curveball wide and low for ball one. One ball called. Swings the next to follow it up onto the roof of the stand above first base, and it's 1-1. One ball and one strike on Krivich. Wilson throws again, and this one's inside and low. It gets away from the catcher, but only a few feet. And he whips off his mask and grabs the ball, but the runners were holding their bases. So it's two balls and one strike. 2-1 on Little Mike. Berg is pulling on his cap. Now pulling on the mask. Lifts on the glove and cuts the pass of time to Wilson again. Has it. Wilson's ready, pitches, and Krivich swings in a drive out to right center, but the center fielder, Kramer, gets over there fast to make a catch of that line smash for the third out. The ball was well hit, but Kramer got over in time to guess. That ends the seventh inning. In the last half of the seventh, the White Sox had three runs. There were two hits, one error, and two men left on base. And the score is 7-1 in favor of the White Sox over the Red Sox at the end of the seventh inning. If you want to get the most out of your car, the most in power, speed, and acceleration, use Texaco Fire Chief gasoline. Fill up the tank with Fire Chief and watch the hills flatten out. You'll be ahead of the crowd when traffic lights change. On the open road, you'll show your heels to anyone. Broadcast of the White Sox-Boston doubleheader comes to you direct from Comiskey Park, home of the White Sox in Chicago, as a presentation of your neighborhood Texaco dealer, distributor of Texaco Fire Chief gasoline. The broadcast comes with the permission of the White Sox and the Red Sox, stimulating this in our national game and in your own local baseball team. This is WCFL at Chicago. Mel Almada is batting in place of Wilson to start the eighth inning. Almada's a left-handed hitter. Takes the first pitch for a good strike over the heart of the plate, waist high. Pitcher again winding up. Throws, and Mel takes a ball wide across the waist, and the count is 1-1. One ball and one strike. You're out there getting his sign again, throws, and Mel swings and misses a curveball inside, and it's two strikes. One ball and two strikes on Almada. He swings to hit the next one, a little looping drive out over Hayes' head into short right center for a base hit. It was a little too low to be a Texaco leaguer, one of those humpback liners that the ball players talk about. Swing line drive into short right center for a base hit for Almada, putting him on first base with nobody out in the eighth inning, and Cook is up there to play. Inside for ball one. One ball called. And there's ball two. The count is 2-0. Two balls and no strikes. Uncooked. And ball three comes inside and low, making it 3-0. Three balls and no strikes. And now a strike comes over the plate, and it's 3-1. Three balls and one strike. Here comes ball four wide, and Cook gets a base on ball. Well, that puts Red Sox runners on first and second, with nobody out in the eighth inning. And Kane may be having a little trouble here, just at the as things got to going good in the eighth inning. Went away out in front in the seventh. And the first pitch is a strike over the outside corner for Kramer. One strike to count. Dean throws again for ball one. It's way inside, and the count is 1-1. One ball and one strike. One and one the count. Throws again, and the hitter swings it. A high fly down the left field line. It's curving toward the line and goes foul into the crowd back there for strike two. So it's one ball and two strikes. 1-2. King gets another ball. And he's ready to pitch it. He throws and the hitter swings to foul the ball right back toward us here in the second deck. Lands down here in the aisle and scampers around under the seats. A couple of fellas are scrambling for it. And it's still one and two. One ball and two strikes. Hits the next one, a high fly into short center field. Cleavage is coming in hard, but Hayes cuts over between him and the shortstop Appling, who is tearing out there. Hayes to get the ball out of the sun and followed over to make the catch for the first out of the inning.